Some people come to a place as customers, others come as family. For MJ McHale, the Douglas Tavern was both, and always had been. Terry was his cousin. Terry and Evelyn were also his godparents. In a town like Douglas, those kinds of connections weren't just labels. They meant something. They meant you showed up, you helped out, and you were part of the story, whether you planned to be or not. MJ's earliest memories of the Diddley didn't start at the bar. They started upstairs, running through the private living space with cousins like Billy, Kathleen, and Kelly, while the sounds of the tavern drifted up from below. The building wasn't just where people gathered. It was where the McHale family lived their lives. Christmas celebrations, family gatherings, laughter echoing through the same rooms where the town would later come together. As he got older, MJ stepped into the life of the tavern the same way many McHales did, by helping wherever he was needed. By 19, he was pouring drinks, working the door during the chaos of St. Patrick's Week, and learning the rhythm of the place directly from Terry and Evelyn. There were nights behind the bar, nights managing the crowd, and the occasional unforgettable moment, like the time he tried step dancing on a chair and ended up falling straight through it. But for MJ, the Diddley was never just about the bar itself. It was where weddings were celebrated, where families gathered after funerals, where firefighters shared Christmas dinners, and where the whole community seemed to meet whenever something important happened. Through MJ's memories, we see the tavern the way many people in Douglas did. Not just as a place to have a drink, but as the place where the town came together, for the good days, the hard days, and everything in between. MJ McHale, family, fire calls, and falling through chairs at the Diddley. For MJ McHale, the Douglas Tavern was never just a place to grab a pint. It was family, literally. Terry's my cousin, and Terry and Evelyn are also my godparents. In Douglas, titles like cousin and godparent carry more weight than most places. They're not just honorary, they're active roles. You show up, you chip in, and you belong, deeply and without conditions. MJ's roots stretch from the center of Douglas all the way up through the Scotch Bush, where his mother's family lived. He may have spent part of his childhood in Renfrew, but Douglas? That was always home. His earliest memories weren't of sitting at the bar. They were of running through the private quarters of the tavern with his cousins. The McHales raised their family upstairs, and for MJ, that meant tagging along with the older kids. Billy, Kathleen, Kelly, and being part of the everyday chaos of a family that also ran one of the most important social hubs in the Ottawa Valley. There were lots of family functions there. Christmas was always a big deal. The tavern wasn't a place separate from life. It was where life happened. The walls that held the bar also held memories of laughter, dancing, and yes, even kids in pajamas racing between tables while the adults toasted another long week. It was never about the alcohol, even back then. It was about the people, the sounds, the feeling of belonging to a place that made room for everyone. From bartender to bouncer to backup, jumping in wherever needed. By 19, MJ followed in the footsteps of his father, Butch McHale, and started working at the tavern. "That was my first real gig," he says. "My dad had served there for years, and I guess it was kind of understood. You help when you needed." Helping out meant doing everything. MJ poured drinks, checked IDs, managed the door during St. Patrick's Week, and filled in wherever Evelyn pointed. He was part of the machine that made the Diddley run during its busiest, wildest, and most memorable moments. But his first real visit to the tavern came even earlier. In classic small-town fashion, he was only 17. "I was driving a crew from our hunt camp into town," he says. "I couldn't drink, so they sat me behind the bar. I just sat back there, kind of hidden, until they were ready to leave. If you were McHale blood, and you were willing to help, you were part of the team. No resume needed." Of course, not every moment was perfectly professional. MJ remembers a night, one of those younger, wilder ones, when he tried step dancing on a chair, not a table, he insists. "I ended up falling through the chair," he says, "just as my dad came around the corner. It was a rite of passage. A little embarrassment, a lot of laughter, and a gentle nudge from his dad to maybe head home for the night." But I think he had a chuckle, MJ adds. That's how it went at the Diddley. Everyone was a little bit staff, a little bit guest, a little bit family. And if you fell through a chair on your way to becoming an adult, well, it just meant you were really part of the story. Weddings, funerals, and everything in between. When MJ talks about the tavern, he doesn't just focus on big party nights or the bar side of things. For him, what made the Diddley special was its versatility, its ability to hold joy and sorrow in equal measure. There were weddings there, birthdays, MJ says, and there were so many funerals held there after services, he says. People would come in, the family would rent the space, and everyone would just be together. This wasn't unique to one family or one circle. It was a Douglas tradition. Whether it was a reception after a funeral, a euchre tournament fundraiser, or a spontaneous gathering after a fire department call, the tavern was the go-to place. And it wasn't just about having a drink. It was about having a place to go, somewhere familiar, welcoming, and full of people who knew your story. You could walk in and always see someone you knew. Someone you worked with, someone you grew up with, someone from the fire hall, MJ says. That's what made it special. It wasn't just a bar. It was where life happened. A community that looked out for its own. One of the most powerful threads running through MJ's memories is the unspoken understanding that the people of Douglas took care of each other. Whether it was through fire department fundraisers, hat auctions, or just the way people rallied around a family going through something tough, support was constant. You'd have a hat auction for Chio, and people would bid because they knew it was for something good, MJ says. Terry started that with his Irish hat. He'd wear it during the St. Patrick's parade, and then we'd auction it off. Eventually, it became a sweater or a jersey, too. It wasn't about the item itself. It was about what it represented: community pride and generosity. That kind of flexibility, that sense of comfort and belonging, it's what kept people coming back. Not just for drinks, but for connection. Learning the ropes from the inside out. MJ's journey at the Douglas Tavern didn't begin with a formal job application. Like many family-run establishments in small towns, it started with a helping hand and a familiar face behind the bar. I started working there after I was 19. It was Terry who asked me to start pouring drinks, MJ recalls. I didn't know what I was doing, but he threw me behind the bar. I poured the first drink ever for a customer, and Terry was standing right there. From that moment on, MJ was part of the crew. He served customers, pulled pints, and slowly learned the rhythm of the place. Not from training manuals, but from experience, observation, and being surrounded by people who had already mastered the art of hospitality. I learned everything from Terry, he says. And Evelyn, too. She was always in the kitchen, working nonstop. One of MJ's clearest memories is of a particularly chaotic St. Patrick's Day when the crowds were shoulder to shoulder. It was one of the biggest ones I ever worked, he says. You couldn't move. It was just me and Terry behind the bar, and I had no idea what I was doing. That kind of immersion, being thrown into the deep end with the support of family, was how you learned in Douglas. There was no pressure to be perfect. Just show up, pitch in, and figure it out. And figure it out he did. The 520 Club, after-work rituals and local lore. Ask anyone in Douglas what 520 means, and chances are they'll grin before they answer. It wasn't a time on the clock. It was a moment, a ritual, a way of life. The 520 Club started the way all great traditions do, with a joke, a drink, and a need to belong. I think it started at one of the Frosty Funds, MJ recalls. There was some alcohol involved, of course, and someone said, well, if the dope smokers have their 420, then we should have a 520 and meet at the tavern every Friday at 520 for a beer. It stuck. Week after week, the regulars rolled in. Blue-collar folks cashing their checks at the Douglas Bank would cross the street and grab a pint. The work week ended not with a clock punch, but a cold beer among friends, at 5:20, no sooner, no later. The cast of characters was classic Douglas. Maureen Enright, Julie Huckabone, Angela McHale, Donnie and Debbie Simpson, Alan Bruce, Charles Watson, Jim and Bill McHale, and whenever he was in town, MJ's uncle Raymond. He lived out at Constant Lake, MJ says, but if he was nearby, he never missed a 5:20. It wasn't an official club. There were no dues, no minutes, no president. Just community, consistency, and comfort. The exact things the Douglas Tavern offered in spades. It was just a way to catch up on everybody's week, MJ says. Laugh, talk work, talk life. You didn't need an invite. If you showed up, you belonged. That's the heart of the diddly. Whether you were 25 or 75, married or single, working or between jobs, you were welcome, especially on Fridays at 5:20. Fire calls and Christmas feasts, the McHales behind the scenes. Beyond the bar, MJ's connection to the tavern ran even deeper, through service. As a member of the Douglas Fire Department, MJ worked alongside Terry, who was both his cousin and his fire chief. Terry was the chief when I joined, MJ says, and now Billy is deputy chief. Jim's been on the department a long time, too. We've had a lot of McHales on the roster over the years. But firefighting wasn't just about the calls. It was about the camaraderie. And where did that happen? The diddly, of course. Every year, Evelyn would host the fire department's Christmas dinner, a full meal made from scratch, feeding 30 hungry firefighters and their families. No banquet hall, no third-party caterers, just Evelyn, her kitchen, and a room full of laughter, stories, and gratitude. She fed whole departments with that food, MJ says. It was something special. You didn't miss it. And even during the off-season, after fire department hockey tournaments, the gang would pile back into the tavern, order wings or pizza, and drink Evelyn's beer into the early hours. She never minded, MJ smiles. She let us bring in food. We'd just hang out, talk, decompress. Those moments weren't flashy. They weren't photographed or put on Facebook, but they were the glue. The reason the fire department felt like a brotherhood and the tavern felt like a second station. It wasn't just a bar. It was a safe haven, a family room, and a place to shake off the weight of service and soak in the comfort of community. Parades, parties, and the capital of St. Paddy's Day. While the diddly was always buzzing with weddings, birthdays, fire department dinners, and pool games during hunting season, no single event captured its soul like St. Patrick's Day. People came from everywhere, MJ says, Toronto, Ottawa, all to be in Douglas, to stand in a town of 400 with 3,000 people packed in shoulder to shoulder. The first parade? MJ can't pin the exact year, but thinks it was around 2013. He remembers Billy McHale, Art Jameson, and Preston Cull forming the St. Patrick's Parade Committee, a handful of locals who had no idea just how big their idea would become. It exploded. One year, we had more floats than Ottawa, MJ says, close to 100. And it wasn't just locals showing up. People drove in with their kids, dressed in green, lining the streets for hours just to catch a glimpse of leprechaun-covered cars and community pride on full display. There were card tournaments, fundraising challenges, and friendly rivalries with Pakenham, all spun off from the parade. And at the center of it all, always, was the tavern. It was the hub, MJ says. People gathered before and after, even if they couldn't get in. The tavern was more than a backdrop. It was the heartbeat of Paddy's Day in the Valley. Every step dance, every pint, every honk from a float traced back to the diddly's front doors. The Irish hat auction and community spirit. There was one moment everyone looked forward to every year, the auction of Terry's Irish hat. He'd wear it during St. Patrick's Day, MJ explains, and then auction it off, all for a good cause. The money raised went to places like CHEO, local hospitals, or families in need. Later, they expanded the tradition to include a jersey or a sweater, always something unique, something with meaning. And always, it drew a crowd of bidders eager for the bragging rights. You didn't just win a hat, MJ grins. You won a piece of the diddly. That's what made the tavern so special. It wasn't just about the party. It was about generosity, purpose, doing good in the middle of having fun. Evelyn's cooking and the Christmas firefighter dinners. One of MJ's strongest memories isn't about pouring drinks or rowdy nights. It's about food. Specifically, Evelyn McHale's cooking. She made us a big supper every year, he recalled, referring to the Douglas Fire Department's Christmas party. Full turkey dinner, mashed potatoes, stuffing, everything. Always made sure we were taken care of. Evelyn didn't do things halfway. These weren't catered buffets or frozen trays from a supplier. These were full homemade meals, a gesture of real gratitude to the firefighters who served the town year-round. That kind of hospitality stuck with MJ. It wasn't about making a show of it. She never asked for recognition, he said. She just did it because she wanted to. MJ also spoke about returning home from firefighter hockey tournaments. These were big trips, long drives, with teams from all over competing. And when Douglas came home, they came home to the diddly. We'd get back into town and all end up at the bar, MJ said. We'd order food from somewhere, get a few drinks. It was just where everyone naturally went. Sometimes they'd celebrate a good win, sometimes just unwind. But it was always the same meeting point, always the same familiar faces. You didn't have to plan it, he said. You just knew that's where everyone would be. A place that held everything together. Throughout the interview, MJ's words kept circling one main idea. The Douglas Tavern wasn't just a business. It held the whole town together. He talked about funerals, stag and does, Christmas parties, and spur-of-the-moment get-togethers. But in all of it, the tavern was the common thread. Every big thing, every little thing, it was always at the hotel, he said. When his own family had birthdays, that's where they went. My spouse, Maureen, had her 40th there, which lasted a whole weekend. I had my 40th, too. Everyone did. It wasn't about the decorations or the drink specials. It was about being surrounded by people who knew your history, who were part of it. The Douglas Tavern didn't just host events. It held space for grief, joy, laughter, and memory. A personal thank you to Terry and Evelyn. Before we end, MJ has a message for the two people who gave decades to making the Douglas Tavern what it was. Not just a business, but a home. I just want to thank them for all the memories, all the laughs, and all the times we had there. They created something really special, and we all felt it. They'll always be part of Douglas. Always.